The unity of being in the divine or absolute grand opened the unity of being in the divine or absolute good opens our inner awareness. The unity of being in the divine or being in the absolute good opens our inner awareness. The unity of being in the divine or being in the absolute good opens our inner awareness. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capa, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. The unity of being in the divine or being in the absolute good opens our inner awareness. That seems just a little bit generous, redundant, and interesting to look at. The unity of being, what does that mean? That means our oneness with the all, our unity of being in the absolute or in the divine. Both are very much the same. It opens our inner awareness, according to our statement here. How does our inner awareness open? By our being aware of our divine and absolute good. How does that open our inner awareness? How does that begin to even touch the inner self that we are? Now, there are so many people who go around the world looking for good. They're looking for happy things. They're looking for desirable things. And I think to myself, very good. Demosthenes went around the world looking too. Other people went around the world looking. And what did they find? What did they find? They found exactly what they were looking for. They were looking for people who were loving, and they found them. They were looking for people who were not loving, and they found them. They felt that there were more unloving people in the world than loving, and they found them. Or they looked for more loving people in the world than unloving, and they found them. Now, how do they find these things? How? Because we make our mind and our heart and our awareness open to what it is we're looking for. Now, we all would like to have a happy relationship with ourself. You understand? Mm-hmm. A happy relationship with ourself. We all would like ourselves. We all would like to feel good in our presence. We all would like to feel that the things that we're doing are good and are desirable. And then we do some silly thing. We're driving along and we're falling asleep and we drive off the road and we crash the car. And we think to ourselves, what a stupid thing to do. I should have taken a nap. I knew I was tired. I should have stopped. I should have stopped. I didn't, but I should have. And we berate ourselves. Now, if we really are divine, if we really are divine, and if we really have worked on it, if we really have worked on the idea of being untouched, if we really worked on the idea of being untouched, if we fell asleep and drove off the road and smashed the car, what would we say? We'd say all is in divine order. Now, would we be, huh?
I'm wide awake.
Well, you are really wide awake after the crash, that's for sure, or you're dead asleep. Now, so all is in divine order. Then do you look at the car and say, oh my God, look at this mess? Or do you surround the car with your pure white light of love even then? Now, Sylvia, our practitioner and our Worldwide Healing Ministry director, wrote a letter in the Healing Practitioner letter, and in it, she had the audacity to say that we can pray for things, and 10 years later, if we have a need for that prayer, we've prayed for it, and it'll be answered. She said that the prayer never ends. The statement of good for ourselves is always there, whether it is in the now, or in the then, now. Regardless of when it is always there. So, now you're going to laugh at me, but that's good. you crash your car. And so you stop and you say, this is not the way I plan my life. I am in this illusion. Now I want to back up this dream. I want to back up this dream. I want to go back to where I was feeling sleepy. And I want to say to myself, stop the car and take a nap. And so I back up in my mind to that point, and I stop the car and take a nap. Of course, the car is with me too when I back up, you know? And the car is driving. It's wonderful. There'd been no crash. And so I take my nap. And then in my nap, I dream that I crashed the car. And I say, oh, no, no, no. I don't crash cars. I take a nap. And then I feel wide awake and I drive with all my alertness. And so that part of your dream, which was part of your other illusion, is no longer there. It's gone. So you put the cause in motion, and what happens? You are able to drive perfectly at all times, and there are no crashes. There are no crashes in your life now or at any other time. Make sense? Because we can put we can put a backward cause into motion, or we can put a forward cause into motion, or we can put a now cause into motion, if that is the choice that we want to make. Now, do we want to make a now cause? And the answer is yes, we want to make a now cause. How do we make a now cause when we have already done the dumb thing? Can we relive the past?
Yes, because the past is the now.
And can we relive the past right now?
Yes.
Can we relive the past so there will be no accident?
Mm-hmm. There is no.
Oh, there is no accident.
All is in divine order.
That sounds even better, yeah. So we're reliving the past, and we are taking charge, and we're saying, no, 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 I don't crash cars. That's not in my program for myself. I drive with great dignity and great responsibility and respect. And when I feel a little tired, I don't think, gee, I feel a little tired. I think, time for a little nappy. And I pull over the side of the road, lock my doors, and take a nap. Now, why do I lock my doors? I don't want somebody coming in and saying, hey, what are you doing here? You're not supposed to take a nap here. I do what I want to do. And when you feel sleepy, the California Highway Patrol and the driver's license people, DMV, they say, stop wherever you are and take a nap. So you're right in the middle of traffic, in the middle of the six-lane highway, and you stop right in the middle of your six-lane highway and take a nap. Now, I don't think that's what they had in mind.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what they had in mind. What they had in mind was to pull over at the first possible place to pull over and get off the highway, get off the freeway, pull on the parking strip there and take your nap, and after 10 minutes or 20 minutes or an hour or 2 hours or 6 hours, then continue on your way. But hey, there's no rush. So to speak, you're dead for a long time as far as this life experience goes, if you haven't put your program in motion that you live eternally. Now think about that. You see, this is where we stand. The unity of being in the divine. We love being in the divine. And the unity of being in absolute good opens our inner awareness, because we learn to be non-possessed. We learn to be non-possessed by any experience that we have had, are having, or will have. Now, what's this will have an experience? Supper's ready. I'll be there in a minute. No, you won't. You're never coming to supper. If you're not coming right now, you're never coming to supper. Well, really, Herb, I mean, you know, this is normal. Every family says that. That's true. But they are not coming to the now supper that they would have had they come at that moment. They are coming to the then supper, which is the now supper for them, and it may be entirely different. The supper that I had, that I invited them to be part of now, had the divine presence there, the divine oneness there. The food was so exquisite that every morsel anyone ate illumined their mind, their body, their spirit, their soul to such an extent that they never needed to eat again. Ho, ho, ho. And you said, just a minute. You said, in a minute, I'll be right there. I'm sitting on the toilet, wait, you know. Hey, that's too bad. I'm watching this movie. It'll be over in 2 seconds, you know. Too bad. You missed it. You missed it. But if you have any brains, you will say, I am there right now. And you will be there in the now. You will be there in the gift of the now. In the gift of the now that says, I am spiritually illumined. Every morsel of food I eat blesses my body, my spirit, my soul, my being. You see, you're the master at all times. But you have to take mastership. And if you don't take mastership, then what happens? Then you give it away. And if you give it away, then what happens? Whatever anybody else's call, that's what it is. If anyone says anything about the food is terrible, then it's all terrible. If anyone says that the meal is an unpleasant experience because we have a lot of deep discussions and arguments at the meal, then that's what it is. If everyone says that the meal is the time of the greatest ingesting, digesting of my spiritual principles and standing up to be unpossessed, non-judgmental, one-pointed, and untouchable. The meal gives me that opportunity because in the meal, I can look around and see people dropping food on their shirt front. I can see them with chocolate running down the side of their cheek. I can see them standing up to reach for something and they got the zipper open. And I can see all these silly things. And if I am living in my divine self, I'm untouched by it. Plus, I do not judge it. I do not judge it. Now, if Sylvia came to the table and she had blood dripping down part of her mouth here, and she had her eyes black and blue, and she had a scarf over the side of her chin, and she gave, hello, everybody, what's going on in here? You'd say, Sylvia, what game are you playing? You know? And Sylvia would say, oh, don't you know the real me? And we'd say, oh, okay, that's the real you. Well, Sylvia, the real you, if that's the real you, is gruesome. I don't choose to have that real you in my world. Now, you go back up to your room and wash off that stuff from your face, and you come down with a you that I like, the you that's pleasant for me to experience. And so Sylvia goes back up to her room, and she says, oh, darn, you know, and she washes off all the mascara and the other stuff from her face, and her mother says, now that's the way a little 8-year-old girl should look. You see, you follow me? But she was trying to be funny. She was trying to be humorous, trying to be creative. And her mother said, it's okay, but there's a time and place for it, and not at the table. You see, we have our spiritual awakening. We have our spiritual awareness. And as we have our spiritual awareness, what happens? We open our eyes to the truth of ourselves, and we're untouched by anything. We're untouched by anything. It was so interesting. Esther was looking, that's my Aunt Esther. Yeah. Esther was looking at Sylvia and seeing Sylvia with chocolate dripping down the side of her cheek because she had been eating a chocolate dipped a strawberry before she came to the table. Esther was here at the table, and she was eating her chocolate-covered strawberry, but she was dripping it all over her arm in a way that she didn't see it. And so finally when she saw it, I said, lick it off, you know. She, oh, I can't do that, you know, not nice. And so Sylvia, who is used to this sort of thing, she just took her doggy puppy tongue and reached out and slurped it back up. And she cleaned off the side of her cheek to her pleasure, but it didn't bother her. She was not touched by it. She said, oh, what happens? And it was so good, you know. She was not going to let herself be disturbed by that. Her awareness was untouched. Her awareness was, you know, unpossessed. Her awareness was no judgment. And this is what our awareness needs to be. Ingeborg, that's what your awareness is? untouched, unpossessed, no judgment?
Yes.
And you're always that way?
Yes.
Wonderful. That's great. Yes, I am not joking with you. If you want, you can go back. And you can say, nope, 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 nope. And roll the film back and not have the accident. Roll the film back and not have chocolate running down your face. Roll the film back and not have chocolate on your arm. Those are silly little things, but you can do it. Now, I recommend to each of you that for this next week, you plan a roll the film back campaign. That every single day, whenever you do a stupid, dumb thing that you think is stupid or dumb, we don't care. But whenever you do something that irritates you, you say, hey, I'm the only one irritated by this. I'm rolling it back. It never happened. Everything is in divine order. And you roll it back. Now, do that, please. And then, in 1 week, report back to me and tell me how many dumb things you have done that day. What?
They don't exist anymore.
Of course not. That's what you're going to say to me.
That's
what, but that's what you're going to say to me.
Yes, that's what I mean.
But you got to start saying it now. You got to start putting that cause in motion. Sure, oh, it's easy for you to say, well, it's not going to be there anymore. That's right, but it's not going to be there because you have practiced not having it be there, being master of yourself. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, what's today?
Sunday.
Okay. When do we get back from St. Louis?
Monday.
So on Monday when we get back, you'll each give us a report. And you'll tell us how many stupid things you did that you excused yourself for. And what will be the answer?
None!
Wonderful. Wonderful. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Love you.
Love you.